Hey, welcome back, travelers, to another episode of Relish the Journey. As always, I'm your slightly whimsical host, Miles Biggs. This week's episode features Gabe Malinsky, founder of Never Peak Products. And like the name sounds, Never Peak, Gabe and I are like kindred spirits. He's just a hustler, and his attitude is always that he can push, 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 and do more. And we talk about that, what it's like to start a company, that mindset, that grind, and just always wanting more and always pushing harder. So it's a great Relish the Journey episode with Mr. Malinsky, Gabe himself of Never Peak. Check it out and enjoy. All right, so let's dive just right into Never Peak, your apparel company. And I'm very interested in how that came to be. I'm sure there's a cool backstory that led you to actually taking the step to launching this thing. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so all the way back to just, I guess, when I was young. My family is very entrepreneurially minded. My grandparents all own their own businesses. Uncles, same thing. My father owns a real estate company. And so I always knew I wanted to do my own thing. In high school, I actually ran an online consignment company called Family Consignment. And from there, went into college, stopped doing that because I didn't have a car to transport things. And throughout classes, I'd always kind of write things down, you know, different ideas. One day in my finance class, my I think it was my junior year of college, I wrote down Never Peak and thought, you know what, that sounds like a good start to something. And went home that day, actually, researched some ideas, and decided to launch it as a clothing company, a dropshipping company, actually. Do you know what dropshipping is, by chance?
Yeah, so someone else is going to manufacture it, and then they'll just ship it directly to whoever, you know, orders it from you.
Exactly, yeah, you got it. So started that, and honestly rushed into it too much. Started it within about 48 hours, launched a website.
Wow.
It was up pretty much 48 hours
straight. That's quick.
Skipped a couple classes there, and after that, just saw that people were interested. People loved the name. It really resonated with people, especially people coming out of high school. You know, everybody says, oh, I peaked in high school, and honestly, just did not believe that, and I think that was a subconscious thought of mine, that you could always continuously improve. And so it started with a hard launch in August of 2017. And now we're here today with a team of four of us doing this. Had a lot of people jump in to help, and moving towards being a lifestyle company. So what that is, we're just trying to help people realize that they can constantly improve and kind of get society to that mindset.
Sure. I love that. Because you're right, it's so applicable everywhere. Like you said, the cliche phrase of peaked in high school, or you never want to peak in, you know, insert whatever, you know, phase of life, work, you know, family, sports, all that. So, yeah, it's got legs for sure. So, going back, you said you went a little bit too much too quick. Talk about that a little bit. How so?
Yeah, I was just too excited. I had this idea that I wanted to share with everybody, and the website Shopify, their e-commerce platform, they make it so easy for you to dive right in. They have beautiful looking templates, and I needed to get it out. It was very inexpensive to launch at the beginning, especially with drop shipping. And so the fact that I could do it within 48 hours was just, it was there, and so I did it. That's really right. Matter of the fact, yeah.
Isn't that crazy, though? Like, literally in 48 hours, you started a business. Like,
I know, it is. It's insane. With online and how quickly everything moves, if you have the tools, then it's very possible, and anybody can do it these days.
So what did you learn from that then? Like, what was a mistake you made by going at it too fast that you've since corrected as you're scaling it?
Yeah, and that's actually one of the biggest things about why we haven't fully committed to being a lifestyle brand, is because we're trying to be patient with the decisions that we're making and making sure that they're the right ones, testing it out in the market and seeing how people feel about it. So if I could go back, I would have made sure I formed the right team first. I wouldn't have went at it by myself. I would have found maybe a partner or a team just of my colleagues that were willing to do this, willing to put in the work, and really we could have divided and conquered a lot faster. And instead, you know, it's taken a few years to really develop the idea and pick a direction, but you know, I don't fully regret it, because I'm glad I did it. It was an experience. I learned a lot from it, but definitely, you know, a learning experience and something that I would suggest to anybody listening. You know, if you have an idea, don't be scared away from it, but take your time.
Sure. And are you guys still drop shipping, or have you set up a different, like, manufacturing source for everything?
So the original launch was drop shipping, and it was kind of a soft launch. And the company that we went with had a few errors. They sent the wrong products and had late shipping and different things like that. And so I decided that I didn't want my customers and my followers to go through that. And so 5 months later, right around there, that was in August, we did the hard launch. And that's with apparel that we had actually ordered ourselves. And everything, we wanted to keep it manufactured and printed in the U.S. And did a hard launch, yeah, in August with everything that we held on our own. And so now today, we do all of the shipping on our own. We do the whole process just independently.
So how did you find, like, a clothing manufacturer? I mean, that's got to be quite a learning experience, sorting that out. Well, who's the right person to do it all with?
Yeah, no, that was a difficult thing as well. There's so many options, and we get DMs every single day from manufacturers in India and Vietnam and all these different foreign countries, people just begging to manufacture clothing for us. And I'm sure we're not unique in that perspective. I'm sure they're reaching out to a lot. But basically, I actually started out with a company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm currently living in Minneapolis, so it was nice and close. And they actually did some work with my brother's hockey team. And they did an excellent job. I had one of their shirts that was great material. And so I went to them and told them about my idea and got some prices. And we still work with them a little bit today, actually. We do a little bit of work with them, and then also some manufacturers down in Texas. And so we've been all across the board, tested out with a few different places, and really all goes back to hospitality. Since we are a smaller company, we like to be able to work with one person and not jump around. You know, we passed on from person to person. And the other thing too, that's huge for anybody that's started a clothing company at all, they know that samples are critical. You need to have your perfect, you need to love what you actually got, what you received, to want to sell to anybody else. And that's something that takes patience as well. So that was kind of the process. And today we've discovered that going with one manufacturer is not the best. It's good to jump around. You know, maybe one person is great with hats and another is great with shirts and another has a great deal on joggers. And so that's kind of the key that we found now.
Sure. And so if they're not drop shipping it, do you just then buy thousands of t-shirts and you have to inventory them and guess the mix of sizes you need and men's versus women's cut and that whole side to it?
Yeah, so we have an inventory gal that knows quite a bit about that, has a few different formulas that she works into the mix based on sizes. That's one of the biggest reasons that we love hats, is there's one variation. Sure. You don't have to order the smalls and the mediums and the larges. There's not five different sizes that you're ordering. And so I think, we're not into the thousands yet, thankfully. That's going to be a mess when we get there. But yeah, it is hundreds of SKUs at a time. And so it does get a little messy in the inventory room, but we keep it as up to date as possible online on inventory and things like that. It gets very messy, especially around the holidays and with Black Friday just rolling through. That was a very chaotic time. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have like your own FedEx printing machine that you just set up, or you have to run to the store every time.
Yeah. I used to do that actually on my own. I was packing everything and throwing it into the truck and then driving to the UPS or USPS, whatever it was, But now today we have a pretty sweet system. We have a shipping label printer. We have everything set up with a scale and a measurement tool, and we have pre-assigned different package sizes. So it's a really quick process now. But my hand used to get very sore from writing out addresses. And it was a blessing that we brought on our inventory gal, because she made everything 10 times easier for us.
That's funny. I've always wondered that, though. Whenever you see, like, there's so many apparel companies on Instagram. It seems like there's a new one popping up you see every day, and it just makes you wonder, what if hundreds of people just click order? You know, all the ripple effects that have to happen to get that shirt and your hat in your hand. There's a lot that goes on.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I think a lot of them nowadays are dropshipping companies, which, you know, some of them do a good job, but it's there's something to actually holding the inventory on your own. And, you know, your friends can come over, and if they want a t-shirt, you can give it to them on the spot.
Well, I have to imagine there's more margin in it for you, too, to do it yourself. Even though you had to take care of the logistics, they're going to charge you a premium to do all that stuff for you.
Yeah, it really is. And that was one great thing that we saw right away. We were able to bring our margins down, or bring our prices down, when we started doing everything on our own, which was nice just for our customers. And that's kind of one thing, too. When you're starting out small and you're just trying to get the brand name out there, you don't want everything to be overpriced. And so the prices we have everything at right now, we made sure they're fair, and we send out deals every once in a while. And the margins definitely we were able to improve them once we moved to this style.
So talk to me about Never Peak Thursdays that I saw on your Instagram account. Where'd that idea come from?
It's a great question. That was actually my roommate, actually, who it was a Thursday, and he had his Never Peak sweatshirt was coming over, and we were going out that night, I think, and it was just our favorite night of the week. And we kind of looked into it and decided, you know what, Fridays are great, but then you have Saturday and Sunday, and, you know, then it's Monday already. And Thursdays, at the time, we didn't have class on Fridays, and so Thursdays were the best day of the week for us. And so we decided to celebrate that by starting Never Peak Thursdays.
Nice.
It was pretty simple, and it caught on. People loved it, and so everybody started posting on Instagram on their stories, and it just kind of took off.
That's cool. I figured it had to be something like that, because it's not your typical alliteration of, you know, Throwback Thursday or something.
No, for sure. Yeah, it was a funny story, but it stuck.
So where do you get all your models from? I mean, all these photos of people posing, is that people that you know personally, or have you done paid photo shoots, or is it organic of people just sending you stuff, a mix?
It's a huge mix. We have some people that will go out of town, and they'll text us, or they'll direct message us that they're going out of town and asking for, you know, a small discount, and they'll send us a couple pictures or something, and it works out. You know, we'll send them 15% off on something, on a hat, and they'll take a picture and send it to us. And if it's high quality, we'll absolutely use it for Instagram. We'll get their permission, and you know, they're more than happy to send us the picture, and we're more than happy to post them and even give them credit for it. And they get some exposure, and we do the same.
Sure.
And as far as models go, we've done a lot of different things. We have some friends that you know, are into fitness and have taken pictures, and just all around. I mean, there's a lot of people that do reach out to us about this stuff. And so there's no shortage of models.
Why do people do that? I mean, what is it about your product that makes people want to reach out and say, hey, I want to do this for you at the end of the day? You're going to give them a small amount off, but really, I mean, what do you think makes them do that?
Yeah, I think it just resonates with them. I think they hear Never Peak, and it is largely a lot of fitness people that are reaching out. But also musicians and hikers and kind of anything in between. It just resonates with so many people. They hear it and they want to be a part of it. And so they do that first by following us and then reaching out. And it's cool to see the community grow. And, you know, these two words that I came up with has, you know, worked to inspire people and kind of created this phrase in their mind that's more than just two words in the dictionary.
Yeah, and that goes back to that lifestyle brand you're looking to create. It means more than just the shirt. It's what you're doing while you're wearing the shirt and that mindset and everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you're like a born entrepreneur then, huh? It was in your family. You were doing it in high school. And now you got like this. Do you think that? Is it something you had to like choose to do? Or you've just always been wired this way?
That's a great question. And there's days where I don't think I was wired to do this. But honestly, I think it was just I grew up and business was talked at the dinner table and at any family event. And so I think I was kind of wired this way. My dad, like I said, is in real estate. My grandparents, they were investors in the color copier back in the day. And now they own a wine vineyard and do a million different things. And so it really, business has never slept in my family. And so to start something on my own that I do in my free time, it was a natural process, I think.
Sure. And so you say some days you feel like you're not wired. So what's been like a moment where you really doubted the whole never peak? You know, hey, maybe I've peaked. You know, I just said I never would, but it's not going to make it all the way.
Yeah, I think when I was in college, the toughest part was on Fridays and Saturdays when my friends were going out and I had orders to fulfill or something to do, something to design, or I had to launch the next week. So consistency was really tough in that aspect. And, you know, even today, coming home after work or something and not wanting to ship out something or jump on a phone call with the team is difficult sometimes. But you look at the Instagram page and you see the followers and all the work that everybody else is putting in, and that's really where you find the motivation.
And so, yeah, you mentioned something there, coming home from work. So I was assuming that this was your work, you know, like this was your thing, but this is what your side thing then. So what do you do for your main pay the bills job?
Yeah, so I do my best to disguise that, actually. That's not an accident. But basically, for my full-time job, I actually work with another startup company called Team Genius, and we are an athlete evaluation software company. So a very new idea. Most people don't even know it exists. But if anybody listening is involved in any sports club, look us up. It's an awesome company, team of 9 of us doing this for about 2.5 years now. And I actually went to a college called University of St. Thomas. And the co-founder, one of the co-founders is from St. Thomas, as well as 2 of the other team members. So 4 of the 9 of us on the team were actually Tommies. And to get into the product, it's a little complicated, but basically instead of doing tryouts on paper and pencil and trying to decipher notes, it's all online and it automatically syncs to the back end and you can quickly form teams. And we've been told that it saved marriages by club directors who are usually out at the bar till, you know, 2 a.m. trying to decide teams. It's wow. Kind of funny, all the stories we hear. But
yeah, that is pretty crazy. I'm processing that. Save marriages. Yeah. But I guess you're right. Like I was a competitive swimmer, all through college. And you do think about, like, for me, the lineup my coach had to put together. Like, he probably spent hours and hours and hours who fits into what spot and things like that. So that's really what it does then. It removes that tedious part and automates it in a way.
Yeah, exactly. So our biggest market is soccer, along with hockey and lacrosse. But we were originally developed for soccer, works for all sports now, but they imagine a tryout. You have, let's say, 500 kids rolling up to tryouts, and you have a check-in table there, and usually everything's on paper. And then you have little Jimmy walks up, and let's say he didn't register for tryouts. Then they're trying to write down his name, get first name, last name, email, phone number, whatever it might be. And then they also have to have somebody run around to the evaluators and say, hey, Jimmy just showed up. Make sure you have him down. He's wearing penny number 22. It automates that part. So you just type it into a computer and it goes to all the evaluators' phones or tablets. And then evaluators do all the scoring on their phone or tablets. They can enter in notes, things like that. And then in the back end, you can see all that data coming in live. And it aggregates all the scores. So it shows you each player's aggregated score, so the average of all the evaluators, how they scored them. And you're able to see basically who your best players are, where they're doing well, where they need to look to improve, You can customize the whole thing. We are integrated with some of the biggest sports tech companies in the nation, and it saves you a ton of time. And that's pretty much it.
That's really interesting. So who came up with that idea?
So that was actually our co-founder Todd, who lives in Wyoming, Minnesota. Small town. He drives or commutes about 45 minutes to work every day, even longer than that. And he created it about, I want to say, 6-7 years ago in some shape or form. He was on the board of his son's soccer team, and they knew that he had a background in software engineering. And so they would always give him the sheets of paper and say, hey, form the teams, you're good at this stuff. And he decided one day that, hey, there's probably a better way to do this. Developed an app and started the business about 2-3 years ago. And here we are today.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So how do you think your side hustle of Never Peak has made you a better employee for your full time, or vice versa? You know, things you've learned from Team Genius that you've applied with Never Peak.
That's an awesome question. I think that they've definitely benefited each other. And part of the reason that they did, I think, hire me is because I had experience wearing many hats.
Right.
And I think, you know, directly, I do sales for Team Genius. And so I've learned how to really communicate with customers, and I've talked to quite a few boutiques in this area about carrying Never Peak clothing. And so that's, Team Genius has definitely helped with that. Going back to Never Peak helping Team Genius, I think there's a lot of different ways. I mean, I never really learned how to use Google Sheets or Excel in school, which is shocking considering I just graduated this last spring.
Yeah, that is pretty shocking.
Yeah, you would think I would have taken a class at some point, but there was never anything required. And so Team Genius taught me Google Sheets, just are both kind of, I've learned in both jobs, in both scenarios, but they've both definitely helped each other. And doing that constantly, you know, Team Genius gives me a good place to work and stay focused and maybe stay till 7 p.m. To work. And yeah, a lot of different ways though.
Isn't it funny how school is structured like that though? Like, think about all the BS classes you did have to take. That you, mm-hmm. you never use again, but they can't teach you Excel, you know, or
that's, oh yeah, funny. Art history classes for a marketing major, that was my biggest struggle. I struggled
with that. I mean, I knowingly went to a liberal arts college here in Pennsylvania, and looking mm-hmm. back, you know, I'm really grateful for some of those things, because even I was in a business major too, and when you, like, once you get into it, people don't really, they don't want to talk about that all the time, you know. When you're out to dinner with a client, they don't want to talk about business still. They want to talk about the books you've read or philosophy or religion, even if it's taboo, that kind of stuff. And if all you know is, you know, that the in-depth subject matter, you fall flat. So, and I'm sure you found that out with sales as well.
Oh yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And that's, the school that I went to was liberal arts as well. Like you said, I mean, there's so many things that it does teach you. And I think they just now restructured it to kind of give you a little bit more freedom on the classes that you can take, which is great. I think there is a lot of things that you need to learn that school doesn't teach you, you know, just things like simple things like doing your taxes.
Oh yeah. Personal finance is a huge one. So mm-hmm. many people graduate, have no idea what the heck to do with money. And they're graduating with, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in student debt. And somehow mm-hmm. didn't realize that they were taking on that debt when they went to school, you know? And then it's like, crap, what do I do now?
Yep. It's crazy. Exactly.
So what do you think in your whole entrepreneurial ventures here, what's been a really good piece of advice that somebody's given you along the way?
Yeah, so I think it's just something my dad told me growing up, and it's very simple, but I kind of blew it off for years. He told me, if you think you can, you can. And a lot of people don't realize how powerful their thoughts are. But to me, I've realized that mindset is so important. And I knew from the start of it that I could start a company. And eventually I did. And at this point, I'm not going to say we're not successful yet, but, you know, I know that eventually we're going to be there. So simple as that, I think. You know, if you think you can, you can.
Sure. Yeah, and I've heard it said the opposite way, too. If you think you can't, you can't. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true.
Yeah, that negativity is dangerous. I think there's a lot of people, you know, just for example, I heard it described to me in this way at one point in time. Let's say you're looking for a significant other. If you think about, oh, I don't want them to be a liar, I don't want them to be a cheater, I don't want them to be selfish, all of a sudden you're going to be dating that person that you keep thinking of. So you need to think about the things that you do want, and if you think you can, then you will be able to.
Sure. Yeah, I guess in some ways it's the definition of karma, right? I mean, I'm not all up on that, but it's like whatever you put back out into the world is what ends up coming back to you at the end of the day. However you phrase it, it's you do good, you get good, you do bad, you get bad, and it's the same with your thoughts.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, you manifest that.
Yeah. And so you mentioned, you alluded to it a little bit, not directly, but when you started Never Peak, was there any negativity coming your way? Did you have haters coming out of the woodwork saying, what the hell are you wasting your time for? You know, you'll never make it. Anybody like that?
I think a lot of it just went back to kind of jealousy because it attracted a lot of attention at first. So there definitely were people that weren't very supportive or would never talk to me about it. Maybe one friend would come up to me right away and loved that I was doing it, and another friend would turn his head away, just, you know, not interested in it at all. I don't think we ever got any hate mail or anything about it, which is good. But I think that it's important to, you know, be open to that. And I in my opening post, when I announced it, I did say that I wanted my friends and my followers to be my biggest critics. And so I was looking for the hate in some ways. But yeah, I think there was a little bit, but it was never directly pointed at me.
Sure. So are you the kind of guy, when you get some of that, does it make you question it, or does it just fuel you and make you double down and keep going?
It does. It does fuel me in a certain way that I think is good. It does make me question it at first. I think it depends on what it is. I actually had a friend, we were playing a game and you had to say something as like a joke. And he said to me, hey, like, you're the worst entrepreneur I know. And it was a joke, but, you know, it makes you think about it. And I'll never forget that was said, because it was, you know, it made me think for a second, am I doing a good job at this?
Yeah, no, that's real. I remember when I started this podcast, I knew it wasn't the best, and I never claimed to be the best at it. I just said, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure it out. And actually, one of my friends actually like pulled my wife aside and was like, what's his end game here? Like, what is he trying to do? Almost leading to, like, I hope he's not going to quit his job and just do this because he sucks at it. At least that's the way I internalized it, right, when she told me about it later. But for me, I was just like, you mother effer. Like, I'm going to show you. You know, it got me so riled up. It just made me, you know, I'm almost thankful that it was said at this point, because it just made me want to do it that much more, because I wanted to just show everybody that, you know, I could prove them wrong.
Yeah, there's those dream crushers out there that don't want to see anybody around them succeed, which is sad, but it's the reality we live in today.
It is. So as you look into the past of starting this company, into the forward of where you want to grow it to, you know, you think about all these other people out in the world doing the same thing, what's a piece of advice that you'd give to somebody based off what you've learned and experienced so far?
I was really looking forward to this question, actually.
Okay,
and I talked to a friend about this last night, and I think there's two pieces of it. It depends on who is listening. I think for anyone at any point in life, I'd want to be able to tell them to go find that successful person and the happy person that's in your life and make them your best friend. And if you don't know them that well, you can text them. I don't care if they're, you know, if it's out of the blue, or if you got their number 3 years ago at some party and they might not remember you, just text them to meet up for a drink or for dinner or something. And I think just being around that happy person, that successful person, is going to make you happier and more likely to be successful. And it goes back to the saying that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I've just seen that be proven true so many times. It's important to pick you know, your friends wisely, and when you're spending time with, you know, let's say in a podcast, for example, I start my morning every morning with Gary Vaynerchuk on the Daily V. Right. And so in a way, you know, he's one of those people that I'm spending an hour with a day, and that's more than anybody else I'm spending time with. So he's rubbing off on me. And I guess the second part or second answer to that question too, if there's anybody listening that's going into college, I think that college is the last 4 years you'll have to live for yourself. High school was kind of BS. Your brain is still developing or whatever. I have a mom who's a psychologist that always told me that. And I think I'm starting to realize that it was true. But now after college, I'm living for my job. Miles, I'm sure you can relate to it. You're living for your wife and your kid.
Oh, yeah.
And so really embrace college and invest a lot of time in yourself.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm jealous of people, too. Like, I talked to Tyler Webb. He does the How They're Here podcast. He's out your way, too. I don't know if you know him. He's like, in that back pocket circle, too.
But I've heard his name.
But he's doing it while he's in school. And I'm thinking back to what I did in school, and not that I didn't do anything, but it's like, you think back, and I just kick myself. I'm like, that's the perfect place as like an incubator to just try a whole bunch of stuff and screw it up or fail. Not that you're failing, Tyler, if you listen to this. You're doing a good job. But I wish I had done more of that, because you're right, it is for yourself, but it's also where you can, it's like a great bubble just to make mistakes for yourself, towards bettering yourself, so that when you get out to the real world, you've got some of that experience in your belt already, and you don't learn it the hard way with the bills stacking up at the door. Because you're right. Once you graduate and you have a whole other set of circumstances and you don't have as much free time to just devote to that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There's so many things I wish I would have done, but there's a lot of fun that we had too, I think.
Right. Well, and there's so much time left. I mean, I don't know exactly how old you are, but I'm 28. I'm assuming you're still in your 20s as well. We have like 3 lifetimes left. I think about that sometimes. Like, we've lived one, we've got 3 to go. Modern science, who knows, maybe more. But like, we can reinvent ourselves 3 times over and do whatever we want to do. Like, you started a business in 48 hours. I mean, you could do that again a million more times. And that gets me pumped up. I mean, about never peak, you know, I've lived that mantra without ever hearing it before. You know, it's always about that next thing, and let's keep going up and up and up. And never being satisfied with the current view you have, you know, you want to keep going. Man, you got me all fired up now, Gabe. There you go. Well, I want to go back to something you said, though, because you talked about find that person that's successful and happy and make them your best friend. Who's that person for you besides Gary Vee, like, that you spend that time with?
That's a great question. For me, I think, honestly, it's my family, just as a whole. I have a great family. I have 2 younger brothers that are awesome people. One of my brothers is actually heading out your way to play hockey at Cornell next year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and so spending more time with them, that's been something that I've been kind of lacking in. In 2019, I've been busy, you know, with fitness and finance and everything, all my goals. I forgot about family. And so that's one of my goals now for the remainder of this month. And if I can spend more time with them, I know they're going to rub off me in the positive ways. And, you know, it's one of the most supportive groups of people that you have in your life. So to me, that's my family.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So the culmination, and you knew this was coming because you told me you listened to a couple, but how would you describe this life and this journey of yours so far in 3 words?
This might be very predictable, but it's never, ever peak. My grandpa always told me that there's 4 motivators in life. There's fear, hate, love, and greed. And he became successful because he was terrified of failure. And I look at myself now, and I started a company because I was terrified of not constantly improving. I understand that some things are going to go. You know, when you're 50 years old, you can't lift as much as when you're 25. But just in everything overall, I want to be happier tomorrow than I am today. And I want to be a better person in a week than I am today.
Sure. That's an awesome, you got some great tidbits here that I love. I've never heard that 4 motivators thing before, but that is so true. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. He's a wise man, and I'm sure he pulled it from a book or something, but You look at anybody who does anything, and usually it's motivated by one of those four.
And it was totally predictable. I was expecting it. Either never ever peak, or, you know,
yeah.
I won't peak, or, you know, something like that.
But no, exactly.
You wouldn't be in sales if you didn't throw that, you know, that shameless plug in there in the title.
Exactly.
So, questions for me. I mean, this is, it's odd, but it's cool. It's the first time we've ever even talked and we're hitting record, but I always like to pass the power on the conversation since I've had you in the hot seat. If there's anything you want to ask me, I'm all yours.
Yeah, I do have a couple questions, actually.
Sure.
Who would you say, I guess, first, who would you say is the happiest and most successful person in your life? Who is that person that you, maybe they already are your best friends. I mean, who is that person to you?
That's a good question. I should have seen that one coming. I've been thinking about it since you said it, about how you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? So it's my wife and my son, first and foremost. My dog, she's not a human, but she might as well be sometimes. I swear she's got a human soul in there. And then it's a lot of the, you know, like the owners of my company and people at work. And, you know, we're not near our family out here. We're in the middle of Pennsylvania. My wife's family's from Pittsburgh. They're about 3.5 hours away. And my immediate family's in Easton, about 2.5 hours away. So, man, this is going to sound really, really egotistical. And I'm sure the world would light me on fire if they want to. But I'm going to have to answer that question and saying it's myself. And, like, I've always been very self-motivated and self-driven and very self-critical. Like, my self-talk ranges from, like, get your shit together, you know, you can do better than that, to holy crap, man, look at what you just did and force yourself to stop and take a moment to, like, enjoy it and relish the journey. I mean, that's part of where I'm at here. So, but I'm in a weird spot in central Pennsylvania where I don't have a very big circle of people motivated to do the type of things that I'm doing. And that's also part of what drove me to do this, so I can expand my circle, talk to people like you that are states away that I never would have met otherwise, that we can connect on a similar level, and it'll keep me fueled and going. But, I mean, that sounds really bad. That's a terrible answer, but whatever. That's what I said. But there are definitely people happy in my life, and, you know, my son's probably the happiest little dude that you just walk around giggling. And there's nothing like a kid to really remind you just what's the most important in life, and to check you when you get too much in your head. Because the simple things just crack them up, and, you know, they kind of bring you back to reality. So, but I'm like you, man, I listen to podcasts every day. You know, I listen to Gary Vee, Bobby Bones. I really like, I like country music a lot. He's got a national, syndicated country, morning show and his own podcast, and I listen to all his stuff, and I love his interview style, and I think I emulate that in some ways. But I never thought of that way either. Like, those people, even though you've never met them, like, they can be some of your five that you're the average of if you consume what they put out. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. Some days, I mean, it feels like Tim Ferriss or Tony Robbins are my best friend, because I listen to them for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've listened to a lot of Tony Robbins. A lot of Tony Robbins, yeah.
Yep, that guy knows what he's talking about, and he's got the voice of who knows what.
Have you seen that documentary of him on Netflix?
I have not.
Oh, man, if you like Tony Robbins, you got to watch it. It's called I'm Not Your Guru, They follow him at one of his big events that he does, and it's behind the scenes, and you see, like, you know, the buildup of how they plan the event, and then they talk to people that work on his team and organize the event, and it's just a look into his routine and what he does before he goes on stage, and he's a machine, but that's why he's so successful. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's, I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. No, it's good. You'll like it.
Perfect. Oh yeah. My next question for you though is, directly related to the title of your podcast.
Yeah.
I'm a very internal person. I can be external at times, but, you know, so much of my life I'm focused on trying to learn about myself. You know, something happens and I feel some way and I think, why am I feeling that way? So my question for you is, how much of relishing the journey is internal versus external?
Oh, it's like 100%. Like, I'm like you. I'm like that, the same. So it's easy. It's similar to Never Peak, right? Where it's people get it, you know, especially when I'm talking to people about their journeys and questions like three words and that sort of thing. And it can apply to, you know, your journey in life, your journey in work, your journey in faith or family or friends or whatever. Everybody's got a journey they're on, and, you know, everyone's got something valid to say, and I believe in that. But it was 100% almost like a self-challenge. Like, dude, you have got to do better at relishing your own journey, like I kind of said before. Because, you know, I've climbed the corporate ladder very quick, and I'm at, you know, the peak, if you would, in my company in the corporate ladder, and built my second house. It's like our forever home. I'm married to a beautiful woman who's ultra supportive and successful in her own way, doing her own thing in higher education, and then my son. And from the outside looking in, I should be like, you know, on a Colgate commercial with that little like ding coming off my teeth, you know. But inside, sometimes it's like you wrestle with that success versus fulfillment. I've got all these things, but I still want other things. I still want to try and do more things, and I want to grow and keep going. And that's a dangerous thing, I find, because you spend all your time thinking that, like, I want to keep going and keep going and do, but then it's like what you said, you forget to then spend the time with your family and be in the moment and relish the journey. And, you know, you don't have to peak, but maybe plateau for a little bit and chill, you know, enjoy it. And so that's really where it came from.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great answer. I guess my last question, cliche, of course, slight plug, but do you truly believe that you can never peak?
That is cliche and an awesome plug. I like that. I believe that some people will absolutely peak. So I don't think I can answer that. Just say, yeah, everybody out there will never peak. I think people have actively peaked, you know, will peak. I think it's up to all of us to have that internal realization that you have peaked, because just because you hit one peak, you know, if you're in a mountain range, there's another peak off in the distance that you could work towards just because you've hit one peak. So I think it's a choice that, you know, you have to say to yourself, I won't let myself peak. Never's a strong word. You know, I'd like it for the marketing, but I think in reality, we've all peaked at a certain point in time, but it's just, you got to have that self-awareness to then realize, hey, wait, I said I didn't want to do this, and I find myself in that rut or stationary. It's time to look in the distance at that next snowy cap and, you know, make my way up the trail.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I've cursed myself for life by starting this company, because if I ever peak, I'm going to hear about it from a lot of people.
That's so true. That's funny. That's a great thing, though, dude. And that's kind of like what I said with Relish the Journey. Like, people, like, you joked about that guy that said, you know, you're a horrible entrepreneur, right? But I've had people, too, where, like, say I'm with a group of people and, I don't know, so my phone's going off and I'm answering an email or something. And I'm like, come on, man, relish the journey. Like, why don't you hang out with us? And it's like, oh, you got me. Ha-ha, guys. But, you know, they're right at the end of the day. So I can identify with that for sure.
Yep. No, and I hear that all too much. You know, I'll be walking somewhere, I'll see one of my buddies, and they'll yell, oh, never peak, bro. Always funny, but it never gets old.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's a whole new clothing line. Never peak, bro. You hit the college scene there when you had bro at the end.
Yeah, the frat line coming out soon.
Put it on a visor, and you'll be good to go.
There you go. Yeah, perfect.
Well, hey, I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy, but this was an awesome conversation. I certainly learned a lot, and I think the people that tune in will learn something as well. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Miles. Really appreciate you having me on, man. It's a great time.
All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of Relish the Journey. Special thanks to Gabe for being our guest this week. Be sure to check out more of From Never Peak by following them on Instagram at Never Peak Products. Like Gabe said, it's really a lifestyle brand. If you believe that you should never peak and always strive to go harder and learn more and do more, then these products fit your lifestyle and you should check them out. So check out Relish the Journey, more of from us at rtjmedia.com. And next week, we'll be coming at you with some more awesome content for some more awesome people. Cheers, everybody.